Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks that you are an awesome God, Lord. We thank you on this morning, Lord. We say, come Holy Spirit, join us in this place. Open the hearts and minds of everyone here, Lord, that we may receive your word, Father God, and your promise. It gives us all hope. Hope in life. So we can be that example for others to follow, Lord, and to love others unconditionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Riding on the clouds. Amen. That's my sermon title today. Sounds like good news, right? Amen. Good news. That's right. There will be some no fluff in here, a little bit of no fluff in here, though. Okay. Just giving you a little warning up front. Amen. All right. All right. But Jesus loves you and so do I, okay? Amen? All right. There's a story from the Peanuts cartoons, you know, Snoopy and Charlie Brown, right? And it's Christmas time, and first slide. There it is. It's Christmas time, and Lucy comes in where Charlie Brown is standing, and she says, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. Therefore, I suggest that we forget all of our differences and love one another. And Charlie Brown's face lights up, right? And he says, that's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad that you said that, but tell me, do we have to love each other only at this time of the year? Why can't we love each other all year long? And Lucy says, what are you, a fanatic or something? And I remember that one too, but... But, you know, the truth is that we should all be loving each other all year long. Amen? And that's what Jesus would do, right? Amen? So let me ask you a question. What is God's will for your life? What is God's will for your life? Or what does God want you to do with your life? You probably say to yourself, now that God has saved me and I have this amazing future in heaven waiting for me and I know my relationship with God, now I know that my relationship with God is based on what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Not on what I have done or what I'm going to do, but on what Jesus did on the cross. So what does God want me to do now? What does God want me to do now? So our salvation is a gift from God. And it's not based on what we do or will do or have done. So can we just do whatever we want then? Right? Can we just do whatever we want? Some like to say once saved, always saved, right? I wouldn't bet on it. Amen? God's will. God's will. There it is. In the first half of chapter 4 that Pastor Rolf preached on last week, Paul told the Thessalonians that God's will for our lives was for us to be sanctified. Amen? He wants us to be sanctified. And so in response to God saving us, we should be growing in our holiness each day. And that's sanctification, right? Growing in our holiness each day. Loving each other. Trying to be more and more like Christ. Amen? So we should be set apart from the world by loving our enemies, right? People should say, wow, what's this guy? You know, that's kind of weird. He's loving his enemy. What's up with that, right? But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be set apart. And we're supposed to live to bring God the glory too, right? Amen? Everything we do should be to bring God the glory. Amen? Christians should honor God with their lives. And after all, we owe the Creator at least that much, right? To honor Him with our lives. And Thomas Ingram wrote, he said, yes, beliefs are important for they shape who we are, but our identity is revealed not through our beliefs or our talk, but through our actions. Our identity is shown through our actions. People see what we do. Are we walking the walk of faith in our lives? Are we walking the walk or are we just talking the talk? Amen? Last week's text also looked at sexual immorality and the need to control our bodies. And Pastor Rolf didn't touch too much on that, but that was in the text. First Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Here's some of the no fluff, okay? Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. That is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is what we were. Amen? We no longer have to live in sin when we live for Christ. I know what it's like to give in to these temptations and believe the lies of the devil. But I also know what it's like to have victory in Christ. Amen? Amen? And God's mercy and grace is available to all of us. Every day. All day. But we must receive it. Amen? We must receive it. We have to receive it. We must receive the love of God so that we can express that same love towards everyone else. That's that agape love that we talk about. Amen? When our hearts are full of His love, it's much easier for us to abstain from the sins of the world. Amen? 1 Thessalonians. So in today's text, our first verses say, now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So the message here is that we want to move from the false love of sin, the lies of the devil, to the true love of God. That's where we want to be, in the true love of God, Jesus Christ. Now there are many organizations that try to help people make this move from sin to Christ. Amen? There's a lot of organizations. And one of them is called Covenant Eyes. And there it is, Covenant Eyes. So this is a program that you can download and use to help people prevent from looking at bad things on the internet, things we shouldn't be looking at. Amen? And the way it works is you pick someone that you want to hold, that you want to hold you accountable, okay? So you have to want to do this, okay? But you pick someone that you want to hold you accountable, and every time you search for something on the internet, it records your searches on all your devices. And then periodically it sends it to this person so they can see all the stuff that you've been looking at on the internet. And so I use this resource for people that have problems with porn addiction. And I've even been an accountability partner a couple times myself to hold people accountable. Amen? So Covenant Eyes, speaking of Covenant Eyes, they've come out with a book called Hobbies and Habits. Okay? And the whole idea of this book is that people who get into recovery from pornography, they need to fill that void in their lives with something better. Amen? We talk about that in Matthew 12, right? That when the spirits leave, we got to fill that void with something better. Amen? So because if they don't, they can very easily fall right back into sin. If they don't fill that void with something good, something from God, you can fall right back into sin. Amen? So God created us. You see, God created us with a need for intimacy, right? But we need to fill that need the right way. We have to fill it the right way. We all have that need for intimacy. That's how we were created by God. But we need to fill it the right way. Amen? So this book helps people in recovery to fill their lives with meaningful things. Meaningful things and living for Christ. Amen? But the ultimate message here, the ultimate Bible message, is that we are to be filled with love, God's love. Amen? That's the ultimate message of this, God's love. So in verse 9 it says, your love for one another. And we talked about this before, your love for one another is brotherly love, right? Amen? That's brotherly love. So then in verse 10 it says to love God's family more and more than they already do. And that's agape love. Amen? That's the love that we can only get from God. Amen? And this is a love that we show to others because God has shown us that love first. Amen? And After all, God is love, right? God is love. Amen? And then the next verses say, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. Verses 11 and 12. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and that you're not dependent on anyone else. So often we think of love as something that we give or show to others, but another way to love is to another way for us to love is to simply look out after our own needs, to not be dependent on anybody. Amen? To take care of ourselves, to work for ourselves, to support ourselves. That's another way we can show love to everyone else, by taking care of our own needs. So at this time in Thessalonica, the Christians were so sure that Jesus was coming back very soon that they just stopped working. They stopped working. They stopped doing anything. They quit their jobs and they were just kind of hanging out and waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen. So they thought they were showing their true faith in believing that Jesus was coming back by not working. Amen. And it sounds like a good idea until you run out of food and money, right? Then you're kind of in trouble. Then you start living off other people. And that was the problem here. So remember, nobody knows the time or the day. Amen. Not even the Son. Amen. Only the Father. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:26. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Amen. You see, Paul was calling the Thessalonians to continue to do their ordinary work out of love for others. To keep working. Don't stop working. Not to relax and rest in the fact that they were saved. They were thinking, I'm going to get a mansion in heaven. Let's just wait it out. Let's just wait for Jesus and we'll get our mansion and everything will be good. He's going to be back any second now. So this idea to stop working and live off of others until the Lord returned was a sin to God. That's a sin to God for us just to stop working and wait around. Amen? And while they were being lazy, they started to gossip. Right? They started to gossip and get into other people's business. Amen? And it sounds familiar, right? Right? You got too much time on your hands, right? Idle minds, right? Right? But, so, they even acted like they were above others because of their faith in Christ. So, we don't have to do anything. We're waiting on Jesus. You guys go to work. We're good, right? So, as Christians, we should never be above hard work. Amen? We should never be above hard work. And that means both paid work and the practical things that we have to do just to survive. Amen. And so manual labor was despised by ancient Greek culture. They thought that the better a man was, the less work he should do. Right? That's what they thought in Greek times, right? So, in ancient Greek. So, in contrast, God gave us, in contrast to that kind of thinking, here's God working, right? He gave us a carpenter king. Right? Amen? He gave us fishermen apostles, right? All hard workers, amen? And tent-making missionaries. So they were all hard workers, amen? And in our next chapter, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. When we combine the love of our brothers with work, we walk properly in the Lord. Amen? When we combine those two things. And people who are not yet Christians, they'll see our example. We're being an example. We're walking the walk. Amen? We're being an example and we're influencing others. We're influencing them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? When we walk the walk, they respect the talk. When we walk the walk, they will respect the talk. Amen? There it is. Example is not the main thing. I read this somewhere. Example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing in influencing others. People see your actions and they respect or disrespect your actions. Amen? George Barna wrote, the Christian church is struggling to influence the nation's culture because most believers think of themselves as individuals first. Americans, they think of themselves as individuals first, and then as Americans second, and then as Christians third. Amen? They got the order backwards, I think. Amen? So, until that prioritization is rearranged, the church is going to continue to lose influence on people. Right? We got to put God first. We have to put God first in our lives. We must put Him first. Now, in this section of the text, we're going to talk about the coming resurrection. Amen? Oh, glorious day, right? Riding on the clouds. Amen? Not the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? That's already taken place. Okay? But the resurrection of the dead in Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about. Amen? You see, Jesus is called the first fruits because He was the first one to be resurrected. Those who have died in faith and had a relationship with the Lord in this life before they pass will be the first to return to Christ. Amen? That's the good news. That's the blessed assurance that we have in our salvation. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Verses 13 through 18 are all about the truth. It's all about the truth. The truth that we must constantly remind ourselves and remind others of. Amen? The truth of God's Word. In this truth that gives us strength to carry on through the hardest of times, we find Jesus. Amen? Can you think of a harder thing to endure in this life than the death of a loved one? Amen? That's one of the hardest things in our lives. Amen? The death of a loved one, or the hardest thing. But we as Christians, we can endure it courageously. Amen? We can endure it courageously and victoriously because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection that we have, we can endure the sorrow. Amen? That's crazy talk for non-believers, right? I said, how can you see a victory in death? Amen? God's children are to be filled with hope. God's children are to be filled with hope. Regardless of whether the world is crashing down around them, we should still be filled with hope. We should not be easily shaken when we have Jesus Christ in our hearts. We should not be easily shaken. In these next verses, Paul talks about the theology that we have in our hearts, the theology that we have in our minds, and the theology that affects our hope in life. Amen? And eternal life is the main thing we're talking about here. Eternal life. So, verse 13 says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Amen? So you don't grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. He's saying, I want you to be able to grieve in a whole new way. I want you to be able to grieve with hope. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant and grieve as the unbelieving world does, to be shattered and broken by the death of a loved one because they have no hope. If we truly believe that what God has promised us in this book, then we have hope even in death, right? I like to say, even in death, we are the victors. Amen? Even in death, we are the victors. Okay, next slide. Now, for those of you who don't know, we have a dog at my house. That's him. And he's literally part of our family, okay? His name is Ghost, and he's a boxer. His name is Ghost. He's 8 years old now. He is our son, okay? He's our son. He's one of our kids. Our grandson named him after a video game. Not the Holy Ghost, okay? He named him after that Ghost Recon or whatever that game is. So my wife, over time, she's babied this dog so much that he became a house dog, okay? So he's a house dog. He's a big, huge, slobbering house dog. And, of course, later on, we found out that these kind of dogs can't take the extreme heat or the extreme cold. Amen? So, I guess sometimes she gets it right, huh? Sometimes, right? Anyways, Ghost is a very well-behaved house boxer, okay? Very well-behaved. And because And because he's so well behaved, we give him very expensive, when they're not on sale, treats. Amen? And treats from Costco. But now Ghost knows when his daddy's home, okay? He can smell me through the door. He knows when I'm home. And he knows that he's going to get one of these treats. Amen? So he goes crazy. He gets all excited to the point of hopping around. I mean, a dog's 8 years old and he jumps like 3 feet off the ground, right? So he hops around, jumps around, and he won't relent until he gets his bone. All right? He won't stop until I give him his bone. So, of course, you know, he rarely makes a mess in the house. You know? He rarely makes a mess in the house or misbehaves because he knows that if he doesn't do that stuff, he'll get his treat, right? So he's a good dog, amen? Now, shouldn't we be living our lives right? Awaiting our return of our Father, right? Of our Daddy, amen? The Savior, amen? We should have our house in order too, right? We should have our house in order just like Ghost does, right? Awaiting the Father's return. We should be jumping up and down 3 feet off the ground, right? Waiting for Jesus to return. Amen. Waiting to receive our reward as well. Amen. Romans 13:12-14 says, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." So live your lives justly in anticipation of Christ's return. Amen? It will bring you peace and a blessed assurance that we need so badly in this world today. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Be that living example. Amen? Be that living example that the world needs so much. John 14 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Amen? That's the promise. That's our promise that we should be living for. Amen? He made a promise to those who believe. So do we believe? Do we believe that promise in our lives? Amen? Verse 14 said, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him." Now the Thessalonians were worried about their family and friends that had already passed. They were saying, well, what about the people that died already? What's going to happen to them? They wondered if they were going to be saved. Was Jesus going to come back for them too? So Paul's saying to them, of course He is. He's coming back for all believers. Amen? Even those who have fallen asleep. That is why we as Christians grieve differently. That's why we grieve differently. Yes, we grieve. We have times of sorrow. We cry. It's hard for us too, but it's not an endless grief. It's an endless hope. Amen? We don't have an endless grief. We have an endless hope. We have a temporary grief. And it brings peace to our hearts, right? It brings peace to our hearts knowing that we're going to see our brothers and sisters in Christ again. In eternity. Praise God. There was a man at a funeral who told the grieving husband that was there, he said, "I'm sorry that you lost your wife." And the husband replied, he said, "I didn't lose her. You can't lose something when you know where it is." Amen? And so God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. At the rapture, God will bring all believers, both living and asleep, back to heaven with Jesus. Amen? Verse 15 says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now when Paul says this, he says, according to the Lord's word. According to the Lord's word. This is how Paul knows that they will receive comfort and hope, by knowing, he's reminding them that this is God's word he's telling them. This is God's word. He's reassuring them of where their hope should lie in God. Amen? It's great to have friends and family comfort you in times of sorrow, especially at the loss of a loved one. But it's God's word that penetrates our soul and that heals us. Amen? It's God's word that does that. The scriptures are not only written as an instruction book for life, but to comfort you through all of life's hard times and bad situations. Amen? The sad part is, a lot of times people, because of their pain and sorrow, cut themselves off from God's Word. When they're going through bad things, a lot of times people will cut themselves off from God's Word. And it's just another lie of the devil. Amen? It's just another lie that people believe of the devil to try to separate us from God. One of the devil's best tools is division. He wants to divide us. He wants us to isolate. He wants us to stay away from church. He wants us to stay home. He doesn't want us to gather together. He knows there's strength in numbers. Amen? Verse 16 and 17 says, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. The Lord Himself is going to come down and gather the church. Amen? He's coming down to gather the church. The Lord Himself is going to come down from heaven, or descend from heaven, just as He ascended to heaven. Amen? He's going to descend the same way. Remember in Acts 1:11 when the angel said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back the same way that you have seen Him go. It also says He will come with a loud command, like a signal given to soldiers by a commander. Amen? A loud command. I'm not sure what He's going to say, but I know I'm going to obey whatever He has to say. Amen? We're not sure what He's going to say, but... It also says the trumpet call of God and the voice of an archangel. All this to say that we will know when it's time to go. We're going to know. Amen? It's going to be loud and clear. And what a glorious day it will be for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I got a rapture story for you. Amen? So it was summertime here some years back, here at Amazing Grace. And at the time, my wife was working on Sundays. But most weeks she would come to service first and then go to work. Amen? Like some of us do. And well, on this particular Sunday, my wife had been running late. Amen? She had been running late. And so we all gathered here in the sanctuary for worship service, and the AC went out. Okay? The AC went out here in the sanctuary, and it was hot. It was going to be way too hot to hold service, so we moved everybody into the fellowship hall. Amen? And it was tight, but we managed to get everybody in there, okay? And I know some of you were probably there, but so if I get this a little wrong, sorry, but, you know. So my wife pulls into the full parking lot of cars, amen? And she rushes into the sanctuary, okay? And it's empty. That's what she sees when she rushes in here, okay? It's empty. She's so scared that the rapture had come and that she was the only one from Amazing Grace that got left behind, right? She thought she was the only one that got left behind. So in a panic, she runs to the fellowship hall and rushes in to see the congregation holding church in the fellowship hall. Amen. And she later on told us about her panicked thought, and everyone was busting out in laughter. Amen. But so, are you certain of your destiny? Are you guys certain of your destiny? Amen? Do you ever worry if you're going to be left behind? Do you ever worry if you're going to be left behind? Do you worry if those who have passed will be left behind? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Amen? Have you confessed these words? Do you believe these words of today's text? Amen? If so, then you should practice what today's last verse says. Today's last verse says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And just to be sure, if you guys are practicing what today's last verse says, I want you all to either dedicate or rededicate your lives to Christ right now, right here. Amen? Amen? By reciting the sinner's prayer with me. Amen? So I want us all, God wants us all to be together in eternity. Hallelujah? All right, so let's do this. Got it up there? Okay, let's say this together, okay? One, two, three. Heavenly Father,
I come to you with prayer, asking for forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son, and that He died on the cross at Calvary, that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life. Personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life. Because you're worthy to serve me, I confess with my mouth that I am born again. And to cleanse by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.